Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Listen now to the word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, there's something about rituals that humans have needed since the beginning. Ancient cave paintings like this one show images of communal rituals that connected the cave dwellers to God, or to what they thought were the gods in nature. And this image was found on the wall of a cave in Bulgaria. And it's believed to be an image of a fertility ritual held in 6000 BC. Clearly, they needed more children, so they had these rituals. It's fascinating to look at it, though, to think how old that is and how they drew this picture to commemorate the ritual that they did. Stonehenge is another ancient example. It served as an ancient burial ground as well as a ceremonial temple. And archaeologists now believe that high-ranking spiritual leaders, both male and female, led elaborate rituals and ceremonies here 5,000 years ago to celebrate the winter and summer solstices. And still today, you can see all these people. They gather there to see the sun rise and set on the longest and the shortest days of the year. We are communal beings, and together we long for a sense of peace and comforting connection to God and to one another. So we conduct rituals, reminding us of God's grace and mercy. Rituals are like touchstones for remembering and understanding our faith, the meaning of life, and our connection to God. And there is a trend in our society today that I think is quite sad, to devalue the practice of faith rituals. And some sociologists believe that the lack of faith practices has led to a sense of despair among the younger generations today. But there is another hopeful pattern emerging. Some social researchers are detecting that there is a group of young people that are coming to church for the first time because they are yearning for meaning in their lives. In an article titled, "Why Millennials Long for Liturgy," the author says, "The ritual of going to church can be a deeply peaceful blessing. A sacramental hunger lies at the heart of what many millennials feel. We are highly wired to be experiential," says one of the millennials they were talking to. "And in the midst of our consumer culture, us young people ache for sacramentality," they said, sacramentality. One millennial they interviewed also said, "If you asked me why younger people like me are going to church again, it's because the single greatest threat to our generation and to young people nowadays is the deprivation of meaning in our lives." Jessie Cohn is a millennial high school teacher, and she said, "In the liturgical space, everything seems to become meaningful. In the offering up of the bread and the wine, we see the offering up of the wheat and grain and fruits of the earth, and God gives them back in a sanctified form. We're so thirsty for meaning that goes deeper, that can speak to our entire lives and to our hearts and to our wallets. We're really thirsty to be attached to the earth and to each other and to God. Remembering your baptism is one of the beautiful ways to meaningfully connect to God and to one another, something we all have in common. As you know, the baptism ritual was first conducted with Jesus by his cousin John. That is why it is a sacrament in the church. Jesus role modeled participating in baptism, but his cousin John had grown up to be a prophet with the call from God to prepare the way for the Messiah. So this was all about launching Christ's ministry at the same time. And at his baptism, God affirms that Jesus is that Messiah that John had been waiting for. Now, John could have been known as Christ's crazy cousin. Earlier in Matthew 3, John is described as wearing clothes of camel hair and living on locusts and wild honey. Can you imagine? What a diet. He probably lost a lot of weight. Locusts and wild honey, that was it, and water. He loudly and constantly proclaimed to all in that region that they needed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then John predicted that another would come after him who will not baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Now, John the Baptist wasn't crazy, we know that. And he was fulfilling a role like that of Elijah, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord by calling all the people to repent. And his natural clothes spoke a message all their own. The rough clothing and simple diet reflected the self-sacrificing and self-denying ministries of the Old Testament prophets. So they would have recognized that he was a prophet by his kind of extreme ways. And John's clothes also emphasized the humility of Jesus Christ's arrival. This king was to be born and welcomed like no other to an unknown family, laid in an animal trough, and announced first to lowly shepherds. John's mission would have been well understood in the East as that of a prophet proclaiming a new monarch's coming. But this prophecy included baptism, which they wouldn't have thought of as, quote, baptism. They would have just called it a purity ritual for being ready to welcome the Lord. Whenever in those days the Jewish people would do something that was holy and sacramental, they would always make sure they washed in a way that was cleansing and pure before they entered into that sacrament. Biblical scholar Pat McCloskey wrote that in those days, baptism was not an official part of Judaism. Baptism was, however, practiced unofficially by some Jewish people in the Qumran region on the west side of the Dead Sea, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. The Jews, known as the Essenes, practiced a baptism-like ritual of repentance, and that included a washing for purity. John was either part of or influenced by the Essene community, they think. And the other scriptures about baptism explain more about its meaning to John and to Jesus. The most famous is later in Matthew 28, when Jesus commissioned his disciples, saying, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Baptism, like Holy Communion, is a ritual reminding us that Jesus is with us always. And then Paul spoke to the church in Corinth about baptism. In 1 Corinthians 12, it said in verse 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free." And here he wanted to emphasize that baptism doesn't discriminate. It is for everyone, and we are all to be one body, one faithful spiritual community, not separated or divided among ourselves. And then to the church in Galatia, Paul said, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." We carry Christ with us wherever we go, and we are to see the world as Christ would see it and be in the world on his behalf, loving and healing and forgiving. The Presbyterian Church USA has a book of order, and that book of order explains how we are in detail to conduct church, how to do church government, and if someone messes up, how to be disciplinary in handling problems in the church. And there's a big section in the Presbyterian USA Book of Order that talks about baptism. And it says that we have baptism as one of the two ceremonies that the Protestant Church recognizes as a sacrament. And a sacrament can simply be defined as a religious ceremony or ritual regarded as imparting divine grace. That's what we emphasize, that we are imparting divine grace. There is extensive background information if you want to read about the history of baptism and its meaning in a section of the PCUSA.org website, too, called What We Believe. And you can just go to the PCUSA.org site and type in what we believe, and it'll come up with all the theology in the Presbyterian Church and what we believe about each section of things that we do. One article says, "Centuries ago, John Calvin identified God's baptismal claim on Christians with these words, 'We are not our own, but the Lord's.' And then he added, 'The crucial factor in the Christian life is that we are consecrated and dedicated to God.' In one of our church's confessional statements called A New Brief Statement of Faith, it begins with, 'In life and in death, we belong to God.' We are not our own. We are God's people. We belong to God. And as Christians, we are not at the mercy of societal values and cultural trends swirling and changing around us. Instead, we are at the mercy of the gracious triune God who claims us in the clear cleansing waters of baptism." And also in the PCUSA webpage section called What Presbyterians Believe, there's an article called Living and Dying in God's Enveloping Care. And it's by Charles Wiley. Wiley says, "As part of the covenant community, we baptize children as they grow into their faith. Adult believers are also baptized as they make a decision to enter the covenant community and to follow Christ. And when Christians die, we say that they have completed their baptism in death with 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' That's how we always commend them." Baptism is the bond of unity in Jesus Christ. And when we are baptized, we are made one with Christ, with one another, and with the church of every time and place. We think of it as connecting us with the saints of the past and the saints of the future. And in Christ, barriers of race and status and gender are all overcome. We are called to seek reconciliation in the church and world in Jesus' name. And the baptism of our young children witnesses to the truth that God claims people with love before they are able to respond in faith. A lot of people ask that question, why do we baptize children if they can't make the decision on their own? But that's because we believe that God loves them and cares about them and wants them in the community of the church even before they understand what it all means. And baptism is also a reminder that God's faithfulness to us is sure, even when human faithfulness to God is not always sure. We also believe that God's grace is sufficient And once you are baptized, no matter where it was, if it was Catholic or, you know, in another country, baptism is baptism. And we believe that God's grace is sufficient enough that it covers all your life. Once you're baptized, you never have to be baptized again. And that's one of the new things that Pope Francis changed in the Catholic Church, too. Now they accept Protestant baptism and don't have to re-baptize people when they enter the Catholic faith, which is a big change. They never used to recognize baptism from any other faith but their own. But this is fitting with what the scriptures would say. Baptism doesn't have to be repeated, but however, we do encourage remembering the gift of our baptism in worship every year, like today, and to acknowledge that the amazing grace of God is continually at work in us every day. Baptism is a special ritual, marking the beginning of new life in Christ. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit given with and through baptism equip and strengthen us for the challenges of faith and life on earth. So today is a day to remember your baptism, because we all need reminders of God's unconditional love that was promised to you in the covenant of baptism. It's like a contract of love symbolically sealed with water. But humans often believe nothing happens unless we strive hard for it ourselves. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and never get anything we don't deserve. Or do we? Baptism is a reminder that God's ways are much greater than our human ways. And unconditional love is greater than conditional love. God's grace is divine mercy, freely given to us from the heart of God. So imagine right now in your mind, take a moment, close your eyes, and think back, and try to remember your baptism. You probably were a baby and have no memory of it. So try to create a memory in your mind right now of what that might have been like. Try to remember the church, how it looked, how it sounded, how it smelled. Remember the faces of the church family, the people in the pews, all smiling sweetly at you. Maybe you can remember your parents holding you. Maybe you were all dressed in white. Or you might have been an adult, and you can still recall everything. You can still hear the pastor's voice saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." You feel the water dripping onto your forehead 3 times. Remember and enjoy the blessing and the moments of grace freely bestowed with each drop of water. Now imagine a mystical dove descending as the Holy Spirit quietly gives you this message from God. "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." Feel the grace. Feel the love. Feel the power of the Holy Spirit shining upon you. Now you can open your eyes. Even though you're not standing in the River Jordan right now, you are here in the Church of the Roses, which is a sacred place. And it's sacred because you are among holy people who all care about you. This is your family. Rituals of God's love, though, can happen anywhere. We don't need a Stonehenge or a temple or a cave. We just need God's grace, which is easily transportable. And so when you leave here today, I want to encourage you to feel free to come up and to take one of these stones and just put your fingers in the water and feel a sense of remembering the Holy Spirit's blessing upon you and upon your life. Because God does love you more than you can hope for or imagine. And God wants you to remember that every day and then respond with that love to others to help lead them to God's love too. Amen.